Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's third quarter 2022 results conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Gianfranco Truffolo, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during today's call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on the beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on currently available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations, and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffolo, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks everyone for attending this conference call. As usual, we will start with the presentation starting on page four with the financial summary of the quarter, and we can see there in page four that our revenues went up almost 1% to $1.85 billion for the quarter. Our net income was $250 million, that is an 18% less than last quarter. And our EBITDA was $553 million, that is a 7.5% compared to last quarter. Our last 12 months revenues went up to a record of $7.25 billion, that is 2.5% higher than last quarter. And our net debt to EBITDA, or leverage, went up from 164 to 189. In terms of last 12 months adjusted EBITDA, it was $2,420 million, that is 13% less than a quarter ago. Now moving to page five and to see the evolution of our EBITDA. You can see that the last four quarters have been very good EBITDAs, but declining slightly over the quarters. And you can see there that we went from $600 million to $553 million one quarter to the other. Of course, the third quarter of 2021 was an exceptional quarter because of a one-time sale of forestry that we have already mentioned. In terms of the breakdown by division, our pulp division got $308 million and our wood product division $283 million. In terms of evolution, we saw an increase of $27 million in our pulp division, basically explained by higher average prices. And we had a reduction of $74 million in our wood division, basically because of an increase in cost of sales. And a decrease in results from associated companies, basically our joint venture in Europe with Sonae Arauco. We move to page six and see a summary of the income statement. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the lines in detail afterwards, but just stopping at the financial income, for example, we see an increase from $15 million to $21 million. This is basically explained by higher interest rates, especially in Argentina. In terms of financial costs, we saw a slight reduction from 46 to 42. That is, of course, lower than a year ago, which we had $52 million. And this reduction from a year ago explained basically by higher capitalization of interest associated with MAPA. In terms of participation in loss of associates, already mentioned, we saw a slight negative number compared to $24 million, and that is explained by lower results of our subsidiaries, especially Sonae Arauco. In terms of exchange rate differences, we got a loss of $19 million compared to a loss of $2 million last year. And that is explained by depreciation in Argentina. Most of that number is explained by that. Argentina saw a depreciation of 17% compared to one quarter to the other, and that is shown there. We have also some depreciation of the Chilean peso and some effect of the of 7 million positive in Canada because of depreciation of the Canadian dollar because of liabilities in dollars. Okay, going to page 7. Now looking at the revenues and cost of sales. As we mentioned, we had a slight increase in revenues. Of course, it's 10% compared to a year ago. And the increase we saw in revenues in pulp and in wood. In pulp is 0.6%, mainly explained by increasing average prices, offset by a decrease in sales volume. And a similar percentage of increase in wood products, which is explained by a increase in average prices and a decrease in volume of 2%. When we look at the percentage of sales, we see that wood products represented 60% of sales in the quarter. Now looking at the cost of sales, we saw an increase of 2.5%, that is $30 million in the second quarter, basically explained by increases in timber and forestry labor cost, partially offset by a decrease in maintenance and depreciation and amortization. In terms of unitary cost, we saw a reduction in hardwood of 6%, and which is explained by a bad quarter in the second quarter, because we had a low production in hardwood, especially in Noeldea, because of problems in one transformer after annual maintenance that reduced production during the quarter, that was recuperated now in the third quarter. And in the terms of unbleached softwood pulp, this is explained not by differences in production, but higher wood and energy cost, basically. In general, we are seeing that a trend of chemicals going down over the last quarter, but cost of wood going up as the fiber costs are increasing. Of course, in our case, it's transfer price that is somehow reflecting a higher cost of harvesting and timber. We move to page 8. Distribution cost decreased for the first time, I would say, 6%. This is, of course, explained by lower sales volume, but also some decreases in freight. We are seeing some decreases in cost of containers and things like that are helping the trend for the future. In terms of administrative expenses, also we had a reduction of 7%, a decrease of $11 million to $147 million. That is explained by lower expenses in computer services compared to last quarter. Now moving to page 9, in other income, we had a decrease of 18% because in the second quarter we have an abnormal increase in changes of fair value biological assets because of an adjustment of reevaluation. Of course, compared to 1 year ago, there's a big decrease because a year ago we had the sale of forest that had a one-time a big gain in other income. In other expenses, we saw $20 million increase from 59 to 79. The main variation here is an increase in expenses associated with stoppages of plants of $28 million. Here we are provisioning all the costs associated with the Valdivia stoppage of the fire in the dryer in Valdivia, and also an event that we had in line 2 on the power boiler that stopped production for about 10 days. That explained basically the increase. We had a decrease compared to last quarter because in the quarter 2 we had a provision for the deductible of the Valdivia claim of $10 million. But basically the explanation is more expenses associated with plant stoppages. Now we're going to move to a review by business segment, starting with pulp. On page 11, you can see the graph of the indexes of pulp, the PIX index. You can see there the index for Europe and for China. What we can see in both lines that prices were quite stable for hardwood, but it started to decline in softwood. And the other interesting thing here is the spread between fibers went down to $67, which is a low number compared to historical numbers that we have seen. The last call was $120 spread. This is basically because of stable price in hardwood and declining price in softwood. In terms of inventories, we are seeing 42 days for both fibers of days of supply. That is a decrease compared to 1 month ago. And in terms of global birchcraft pulp shipments, of course, this is only information the first 5 months, but we are seeing a trend of a slight increase, but a decrease in the Chinese market of 5.5%. In page 12, we can see the increase in the pulp division EBITDA that we already talked about, which is basically higher average prices. Of course, compared to 1 year ago, we have the effect of the forestry sales that are included in the pulp division. So that explains the 50% decrease. You can see that in terms that of sales, we had a reduction from 810,000 tons to 750. But this was last quarter was higher than production. So on average, we have been selling a little bit more than production. So we have been able to decrease a little bit the stock. Of course, the production compared to 1 year ago looks lower, but this is explained by a year ago we had the line one producing, so that's why we had more capacity. Line one was stopped at the beginning of this year, so that's why we lost 300,000 tons of annual capacity. In terms of price, already mentioned, pulp prices were relatively stable. The conflict between Russia and Ukraine caused a restriction pulp supply, and as we have been telling for a while, this caused some restriction in of the complete stoppage of the short fiber imports from Russia to Finland, basically birch, and that caused them to stop producing hardwood and start producing softwood. That caused a reduction of hardwood in Europe and an increase in softwood. That's why it's explaining basically the dynamics of pulp. Also in Europe, we have the stoppage of 4 months of the Pontevedra mill of Ence. That's reducing also the supply of hardwood. In China, the pulp demand remains stable, high prices due to low supply, low stocks, and high production costs putting pressure on paper industries. Paper producers starting to increase their export due to lower logistic cost, and that is releasing a little bit the pressure in China, but putting some pressure in Europe as start to compete with paper producers in Europe. In terms of dissolving pulp prices started to decrease. Of course, in the graph we were not showing there because we didn't have production of dissolving because of the stoppage of Valdivia, but the trend is going down. Okay. This in the graph, you can see the prices that are realized by our company, and you can see that ending the quarter in September, we had $970 per ton for softwood and $885 for hardwood. Page 13, in terms of outlook for the fourth quarter, what we have seen here is most economies slowing down because high interest rates as central banks fighting inflation, and that is reaching 10% or more in most of the economies. That is impacting the demand, and that is affecting the demand for, of course, all the products and paper also. China also is showing less economic growth. The impact of COVID restrictions is still there, and all the expectation of somehow releasing those restrictions. But the Chinese government is more focused on the COVID fight rather than growth at this point, I think. And of course, winter is coming in China, and so the possibility of releasing some of the restrictions looks gonna happen probably next year, not right now. So in terms of the market, there's a lower expectation in terms of paper and packaging demand. That is reflected in lower price for BKP and UKP. Long fiber, basically, but it's not affecting somehow the HKP that is more focused to tissue, which is with good demand. As we already mentioned, the recovery in logistics has reactivated some paper export from China to Europe, and that is affecting the European producers. Other thing to mention is that this cycle, probably this down cycle that we probably are facing right now, we'll face probably a higher floor than the other because of the inflation in cost that is affecting more the marginal producers than the lower cost producers like in Chile or Brazil. The last two cycles, we saw floor prices in hardwood of around $430. Then we saw another one in during 2021 of $530. And so the expectation is that the next cycle will face a floor probably $60 to $80 more than the last one. So we expect that prices could go down, but no so low that the other cycles, basically because of the higher cost that everyone is reflecting, especially the marginal producers. In terms of the annual stoppages, you can see there that we had during the third quarter the Arauco Line 2, Valdivia, and Esperanza Mill in Argentina, and we already did the Licancel Mill during the fourth quarter. In the beginning of next year, we will have the Valdivia Mill again, and then the Constitución and Montes del Plata in the second quarter, and ending with Nueva Aldea and Puerto Esperanza again in the third quarter. Okay, now moving to page 14 in wood products. We had a higher cost. Basically, that explains the reduction in EBITDA. Of course, a little bit of lower volume, but more decrease in volume in solid wood than in panels. But we face higher cost of resin and other inputs, but still very good numbers. I mean, $283 million per quarter, it's still a very good historical number for the wood product division. But the market is changing, and we are seeing the lower numbers coming forward, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in the outlook part. In terms of what happens during the quarter, North America looking very good with good demand. Latin America decreasing, especially Brazil, during the quarter. So the first effect of the decrease wood demand, we found it in Brazil, and that is affecting also Chile. Argentina, very stable, but it's a very isolated and special country, and so we're still facing good production there. And page 15, we have a graph showing the production and sales of panels and sawn timber. You can see there the decrease in sales in sawn timber, especially from 600,000 cubic meters to 555,000 cubic meters. Plywood quite stable in 135,000 cubic meters per quarter. Page 16, in terms of outlook, we have seen demand declining in MDF. Here we are talking about North America, which represents 60% of our sales. Demand for MDF starting to go down since the beginning of the fourth quarter. The customers are adjusting their high inventories because they received late shipments with a lot of volume at the same time that demand is decreasing. So they are digesting that demand, and so cutting down a little bit their orders. Of course, there's more uncertainty in North America and high interest rates that are affecting construction, basically. This effect is more big in remanufactured wood products, that the markets have continued to worsen. High inventories, high interest rates, and also the lower housing starts that you can see in the graph that start to trend a little bit down, especially because of the high interest in the mortgages. Plywood is different. It's relatively stable because there's less supply for alternative products, so we're not seeing the negative effects of economic, really. We are basically adjusting production to the new levels of demand, and so we are cutting down some shifts in production, especially in the sawmills in Chile, remanufactured facilities, and other panel mills, to adjust for the new demand and not to accumulate inventory. Page 17, Central and South America. As we told, the market continues to worsen and soften in Brazil, showing worse numbers than last year, month by month. There's more MDF supply and lower demand. So the export, and also the export market are worsening, so the alternative of putting some products outside Brazil is becoming more difficult. So that is affecting the market there. So also adjusting production in Brazil to this new level of demand. In Chile, also the construction sector is affected because of the lower economic activity and some political uncertainty. Volumes are decreasing, and of course also our prices in local currency look lower compared in dollars because of the higher exchange rate. In more marginal markets like Asia and Oceania, packaging and lumber markets are more complicated, and some sluggish construction sector in China. In Argentina, sorry, I didn't mention, very stable with good demand. I will say this is the only country that we're not cutting down production because construction material is a very good alternative for deploying your Argentine pesos. So demand is still very good there. And we expect that to continue for the rest of the year. Page 18, now looking at the free cash flow, we can see that we had a positive free cash flow quarter of almost $20 million. We had a higher income tax paid this quarter compared to last quarter, but on the other side, we didn't pay dividends. The dividends are paid normally in the second quarter and the fourth quarter, and that's why we had a positive free cash flow compared with a negative free cash flow of $90 million in the second quarter. In terms of EBITDA, it was a little bit lower, as we have mentioned, and cash flow of operation reflects that lower EBITDA plus the tax paid. Net debt, as you can see there, decreased marginally by 0.4%, mostly due to exchange rate and accrued interest variation. In terms of cash and liquidity, page 19, our cash position went up a little bit to $926 million. And so if we add to that the revolving credit facility that we have, that is undrawn, we have a total liquidity of $1.3 billion. In page 20, you can see the evolution of the net debt and the evolution of the leverage. Leverage reached a bottom of 1.64, now started to go up a little bit, not because of an increase in net debt, but because of a decrease in last 12-month adjusted EBITDA that went down 13%. So that is moving a little bit the leverage, but still very good levels, below 2x for many quarters, a year now, without being below 2x EBITDA. Page 21, our debt amortization schedule. We have very low amounts to pay this year, next year, mostly debt associated with the debt of Montes del Plata, of the construction that we have to pay only $70 million now to finish that debt. And the big amortization comes at the second half of 2024, basically by a bond of $500 million that is due in August 2024. Now we're going to talk a little bit about material facts and news, and we want to start with the MAPA project. Page 23, we can see there some photographs of the mill is almost complete, as you can see there. A photograph of the controlling room. The advance is 99%. Construction is substantially complete in almost all areas, all wood preparation, chemicals, power, recovery boilers, turbo generator, water treatment, warehouse, everything is ready, already delivered from the construction team to the operations teams, and it has been a while in commissioning, testing all the equipment, and running down separate areas of the mill, but we still have pending one of the pulp machines, which are part of the end line of production. The pulp machine number 4 is delivered, and we are only pending pulp machine number 3, which is not ready. And that is why we cannot start producing. As we have already mentioned, the delay here is basically because one of the construction companies is delayed about because of lower productivity. The other construction companies have already delivered their parts, and we're waiting for the start of this pulp machine to start the mill. That at this point we are expecting for mid-December to start the startup process and reach the capacity probably of production probably 6 months from there. The estimated CapEx is still about $2.9 billion. Now moving to page 24, we have announced the approval by the board of directors of a new MDF line in Mexico. This 300,000 cubic meters of MDF, with of which 150,000 cubic meters would be melamine, will be located in our Zitácuaro industrial complex, where we have a particle board mill that will be stopped. That particle board is a 150,000 cubic meter particle board. The estimated investment is $235 million. And we are going to start now with negotiation of the equipment, and we'll probably, if we reach an agreement with the equipment, we will start constructing very soon. An update of the Valdivia mill that was stopped at the end of May because of a fire in the dryer. We were able to start production on September 23rd. So now the mill is working with a temporary repair of the drying machine that we are producing about a 90% capacity since September. And the definite repair of the drying machine will be done during the first half of 2023. It will take a 2 to 4 months of stoppages to replace all the parts and to be ready. Of course, all this is covered by the insurance that we have, of course, after deductibles, of course, but everything is covered, the business interruption and the physical damage of the fire. As you know, the Valdivia mill has a authorized capacity of 500,000 tons of pulp, or at this moment has been producing dissolving pulp and will continue to do so. Page 25, we have submitted in October an environmental impact study for the construction of an OSB manufacturing mill in the region of Ñuble in the Trupan site. We are overseeing a potential investment of about $280 million with an estimated production capacity of 360,000 cubic meters per year. So we have to wait for the approval of the environmental study. And if it's approved, we will submit this investment to the board of directors to start construction and to have our first OSB mill in Chile. Remember that we have an OSB mill in Germany, which is part of the Sonae Arauco joint venture. That mill has 500,000 cubic meters of production. But this will be our first mill in Chile and will be complement our product portfolio very well with our clients. Other news is that we were able to produce the first CLT, the cross-laminated timber panel, in our Highland mill in Chile. This is a very important milestone on our challenge to promote construction in wood and making the material of the future. We are developing this market that has very big advantages in reduction of construction time by 30% and also reducing specific weight by 25% in tall buildings. It is used in coating of walls, floor, ceilings, and can be used in up to 12-story buildings. Of course, a lot of benefits in terms of greater thermal insulation, excellent acoustic absorption, of course, being very friendly with the environment, replacing construction in concrete or steel that has a very big carbon footprint. Page 26, we are attending the COP27 climate conference in Egypt at this moment. So we are a member of the Friends of COP group to accelerate our private sector commitment to decarbonize the reproductive matrix. So we agree, of course, of all the initiatives to stop climate change, and we are very proud to be, for the third year, to be certified carbon neutral. So we were the first company in the forestry sector to be certified carbon neutral, and we, apart from that, we are making additional commitment to reduce our gross emissions through the science-based targets, and we are expecting to commit to additional targets up to 2030. So very proud to be there present at the COP27 meeting in Egypt. In Page 27, another ESG news. We started the training of forest fire brigades in order to face this next fire season. We are training more than 1,600 workers, internal and external, to participate in this program and by CORMA. So we are trying to generate the necessary skills for this fire season. Another news, well, of course, we have this sustainability report that was published in August. You can look there. We have a lot of more information about our KPIs in sustainability. And finally, takeaways from this conference call. We remain with strong financial results amid market volatility and, of course, the current geopolitical environment and some generalized logistic complexities that are easing somehow, but we were able to navigate those through the quarters. We had the highest LTM revenues on record, and we maintain our leverage below 2x, even in a high capex period constructing a MAPA. And also, we are initiating our ambitious plan to become nature net positive based on water management, biodiversity conservation, and CO2 atmosphere reduction. So we will have our next conference call for the fourth quarter in mid-March 2023. So I'll stop here, and I'll be open for any questions that you might have. Thanks.
Thank you very much. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star then two. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we pull for questions. And today's first question comes from Isabella Vasconcelos with Bradesco BBI. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Just making sure. Thank you. So I have a couple of questions on my end. The first one, just exploring a little bit pulp market dynamics, and specifically in the Chinese market, how have negotiations progressing? Recently, we heard we read some news recently that mentioned that paper makers are pressuring for more discounts, both on the softwood and hardwood side. And also, you know, there's a big gap between the resale prices, especially on the hardwood side, versus spot prices. So I was wondering whether you can comment on how negotiations have been progressing. And on the second question that I have, especially on the wood product side and on the new investments, how when do you expect startup for the new MDF line in Mexico, and also possibly on the new OSB line in Chile? Those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sorella. Well, I'm not currently with all the information about the current negotiations, because that is basically going on. But the general trend is that it's more difficult for softwood and hardwood. Inventories are still low in hardwood, as you can see, 42 days is basically the same level as softwood. So I would say that it's easier to maintain prices in hardwood, and I think the intention is to maintain prices for the coming month in hardwood. It's a little bit more difficult for softwood because of lower demand for basically all packaging and all the containerboard and things that are more associated with long fiber. But we will try to maintain prices, and at the end of the day, the volume contracted will determine the final price. But I don't have current information about that. The only what I mentioned is that in general, it's easier to maintain prices in hardwood than softwood. And in terms of wood products, our MDF mill in Zitácuaro, it's planned to probably start construction next year, and we think that probably at the end of 2024 we'll be producing probably MDF in the market, and at that time we will stop the particleboard line and we will replace that. So let's say end of 24, beginning of 25 would be a good date to start producing. But of course, we will be updating as long as we start construction and we close the negotiation with equipment suppliers, which is going on right now. And that is very important in order to assure the CapEx cost of the project.
Thank you.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, our next question today comes from Herman Kizluk with MetLife. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two of them today. The first one is on the cost side. So, Gianfranco, you mentioned that there are cost pressures everywhere that is pushing up the cost curve for everybody. So whenever prices go down, they will not go very low. But on your side, I've seen full cost, unitary cost going up, also because of maybe general pressure, but also lower production, and also wood products, the costs there are also going up quarter after quarter. So maybe if you could provide some outlook or what are the expectations for the final quarter or also for the next year in terms of cost, if you expect some normalization there, that would be my first question.
Yes, I mean, the general trend is cost of production going up everywhere. I mean, I think that in the case of the companies that are integrated into forests, the cost pressure is lower because the companies have to buy fiber from third parties, or in the case of the Chinese that imports fiber, they are competing with other uses of fiber. And the more extreme case is, of course, Europe, that energy is so expensive that all the pellets producers are competing with the same fiber as pulp producers, as the price of electricity is reaching $300, $400 per megawatt hour. So those are facing higher competition in the source of fiber. In our case, in Latin America, energy prices are low. We own our own forests, so it's not so important. Of course, costs are going up, but not so much as the marginal producers, the high-cost producers in the Northern Hemisphere. So I would say that is more or less the trend. In our case, we haven't had a very good year in production. As I mentioned, we had some incidents in Oralea, in Arauco. The Argentinian mill have not produced very well. So we expect that we are we're going to produce better for the coming quarter as we have put in some solutions on those problems. And with higher production, we will have lower production costs as we dilute the fixed cost. That will help. Chemicals are going down. Oil price is going down a little bit. Freight is going down. So us being far away from markets, we're going to face lower freight costs, and that will help us in pulp and wood products. In the case of wood products, we're also facing lower volumes and lower price. So it will be very difficult to maintain the EBITDA that we saw these 2 years. So that is for real. But and of course, next year we will have MAPA producing. And MAPA is a very efficient mill. So we will probably lower our average cost production having MAPA and having higher volume.
That's great, Gianfranco, thank you. My second question is very specific on ESG. So in the presentation, you said that there are now additional commitments to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. I don't know, maybe if you can expand on that, what are these new commitments?
Yes, I mean, they're not completely defined by the science-based target because they're a little bit overcrowded with work that they have to do, but initially we committed to a percentage of decrease of gross emission up to 2030. Our initial approach was to reduce about 30% of our emissions per ton, not a gross amount, because of course if we produce more pulp, we're going to produce more emissions. But in terms of unitary emissions, to reduce by 30% up to 2030. But that has to be checked with the Science Based Target Commission once they review our proposition.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one. Our next question today comes from Martin Perez at SMBC Chile. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Gianfranco, and thank you for the presentation. My question is if you can comment anything that's relevant regarding the evolution of the Sukuliu project, if there's any news.
Well, we continue in Sukuliu advancing with all the studies, all the logistical studies, all the basic engineering. We recently committed with a company with Poity to start the basic engineering. So we're still working. Of course, continue planting and also closing arrangements and contracts with potential joint venture partners in order to acquire land and continue planting, because we have to have an asset base of around 285,000 hectares to supply that mill that we are planning to do. So everything going into according to plan, and with a strong commitment from the local governments to help us in the approval of the environmental study. That is, of course, a very important part of the approval that the board of directors will have to do at the end of 2024. That is a very important milestone. And at that point, also, we will look at the feasibility study that we are preparing in order to have an approval by the board, and then, of course, acquire the equipment and start construction. But still some work to do, but we are on track on completing all the work that we need to have in order to have a board approval at the end of 2024. If we do that, the mill will have about 2 to 3 years of construction, and it will be producing 2.5 million tons of hardwood.
Okay, thank you very much, Gianfranco.
And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffolo for any closing remarks.
Okay, thanks everyone for attending this conference. As I already mentioned, we will have next conference in March with the complete numbers for the year. If you have any further questions, don't hesitate to contact our investor relations teams here in Santiago, and have a nice morning.
Thank you. Bye-bye. This thus concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect your line at this time, and have a nice day.